All right, let's bring it in for our national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in President of Hockey Operations, General Manager for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Don Waddell. He just completed a trade with his 2022 first round pick, sixth overall.
Yeah.
Like, this is nothing to sneeze at here. Oh. This is a significant piece that may have well started the trade deadline market. So we'll get his thoughts on that, including his hot team at 6-1-1. In the meantime,
in their last eight games.
What was that, Sammy?
In their last eight games.
In their last eight games.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets, +3 goal differential, 11-9-3 on the season. Like, they're not far out of a playoff spot, boys.
There's a lot of surprising teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. Like, if you look at it, you know, like, Buffalo's floating around there. The Flyers are hot recently. They're floating around there. And then, you know, you scroll down a little further and you find the two Canadian teams in the Atlantic Division. But I don't think too much of that today.
In the meantime, we'll hear officially this week the rosters for four teams participating in the Four Nations tournament that the league will shut down in February for.
We only care about one, though.
For 3 weeks. Now, it's going to there's going to be a lot of speculation up until that. Players have been told.
Have they all been told?
They've been told. The alternates have been told.
They shouldn't have done that. Alternates have been told.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one.
So,
hey.
It's going to be really hard. I know some of the networks want to keep it a secret and reveal it later on. I get it.
Are you, you mean our network, and you are going to expose the team members? Is
that, I don't think I'm on any show like that. So
I'm not, but it's just, it's hard to believe that, you know, a guy like Mitch Marner wasn't told on, in Florida with Cooper right there.
Hey, reported first by me,
no.
Mitch Marner on Team Canada.
But we also, the internet's going crazy because the Flyers got together at center ice with Tortorella and a few players seemed like to be singled out. Mm-hmm. So good on them if they can keep it a secret here, but it's a few players, I think.
Think they know.
Think they know. And the ones on the internet are Sanheim, which would be a bit of a surprise, and Konechny.
Yeah, that would be a legitimate surprise, but Konechny's not. Konechny makes a lot of sense. Great season, great year last
year. Well, come on. If we've talked about role players and guys that don't necessarily fit into a top six, that would be a perfect guy. Mm-hmm. Sam Bennett would be a perfect guy. Those are the role players that you need.
Has he been told?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't know.
Okay.
Take it easy, Sam. You want to get me in trouble with the guys upstairs?
No, you're not listening, brother. You're fine. Just tell us the whole team. You know the team.
Nobody pays attention to our show.
You know, though.
Yeah, like, it's going to be a fascinating thing because we have a show tomorrow night. No, Wednesday night, announcing the teams, I believe.
Yeah.
Revealing the team.
Yeah, and we're...
It's going to be really crazy.
It's not tomorrow?
No, I think I think Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden and Finland come out Finland. Tomorrow.
So, like, you know, can everyone hang on to this? Whoever knows, I don't know. For 2 days, we'll see. I hope so.
We shall see.
Yeah. All right.
But there's some teams.
Sanheim surprise you? Are you shocked? Are you?
Okay, like
6'4", 222.
First of all, okay, we'll get into that because we got our special guest waiting for us, Don Waddell, who's. Team is hot as a firecracker right now. Don, thanks for joining us. It's just not that you're 6-1-1, but you made a very significant trade to, I don't know, set the market up for the remaining teams going into March. But, I mean, maybe I'm not phrasing this correctly, and if I'm not, please, I apologize to you now. But, you know, we don't often see top 10 picks moved 2 years later. So if this is not the right phrase, correct me, but how do you quit on a guy sixth overall 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, I never, ever disagree with anything you say, Nick. But, you know, you got to look at, you know, the player, I think, is going to have some success. There's no doubt about it. He's got some skill in that. But with training camp, how it went and the games he went, we, you know, as a group, we got together and said, you know, we got to put him down in the American League and, you know, let him play. And, you know, you never know how it's going to go. We felt that the asset value may maintain if he plays well, but it could decrease also. So at some point, you know, you have to make those tough decisions of saying, you know, let's cut, you know, the sixth overall pick and let's get the assets that we can get. And, you know, for us right now, we need assets. We need to, and these assets aren't so much even for drafting players, but it's for trying to make our team better. And, you know, we don't want to trade our first pick, obviously. We think it could be pretty high eventually, but, you know, to have another first round pick and other picks, that's how you get to the draft. Everybody's always looking for draft picks. So we feel like having these kind of assets in the bank are going to help us make our team better today.
So that's, you know, you have a long-term vision for the organization. You know, you guys are having quite a bit of success this year, Don. What sort of arc do you see for the Blue Jackets on your way to being the cup contenders you want to be?
Well, we got to keep building with our young players. We got some tremendous young players and supplement them with some great veterans. Like we signed Monahan and Werenski's having an unbelievable season. So, you know, you got to stick with your young guys that we have on our roster and, you know, surround them with the players. But, you know, this year has been interesting because we've got goal scoring from everybody. We've scored a lot of goals. It's amazing. We played Chicago yesterday and six different players scored those goals. And I think as of today, our defense is leading the league in goals, which is something that I didn't expect when we started the season. I thought goal scorer was going to be at a premium for us, and somehow we're finding ways every night to score a lot of goals.
Multiple picks, Don, in the trade coming back to you. You mentioned that you want to make it, these picks will help your team get better. Do you envision using them at the draft table? Can you flip them as early as this year and get a rate of return back quicker for you? Is that a possibility?
100%. We actually, we made the trade on Saturday, and I've talked to probably seven teams since. You know, we have a couple things going for us. We have a lot of assets, and we got a lot of cap. And today's day, cap is pretty important. As we go into not only this season, but next year, we're going to have, you know, $25, $27 million of cap space. So, you know, it's not always build your team through free agency. I think having the assets, you know, you get to the draft, people are looking for picks, and there's always some RFAs that either teams can't afford anymore, don't want to go to arbitration. So I think the possibilities are endless as you look at this.
Don, two-part question here. Number one is, how many teams did you have on your check bidding? And number two, is there a sense that this will be a very healthy market with the potential of the cap going up quickly in the next few years?
Yeah, at first, you know, we probably had 13, 14 teams reach out to us, and we did our homework on all those teams, and we looked at, you know, our first goal was to see if we could get an equal prospect that, or a young player playing the NHL that we could put right in our lineup or put in our lineup a few years from now, and that seemed to go by the side. Just couldn't get those guys. We asked about all of them, and so then we turned to picks, and certainly Minnesota stepped up at the end and really wanted the player. But you know, as far as moving forward, was it more about the cap, Nick? You're saying
the cap, the revenue will push the cap up towards $100 million in the next few years here, and if that changes the attitude about going into this year's trade deadline.
Yeah, no, and then I've been talking to teams right now that have cap problems that are trying to clear cap. You know, I think, you know, for us, you know, we got strong ownership here in Columbus that will support whatever we want to do. You know, we got to be smart about it. You know, we'll have, if you look at some of the players currently on our roster, the Adam Fantillis and Kent Johnsons and so forth, you know, we're going to have to pay some money in the upcoming year. So we just got to make sure we plan it out correctly, not spend money that we might need in the future. But I think we're in a great shape from that end. And I think with some of the young players, as I said, I think being able to surround those players with some maybe veteran players or younger players for whatever, however they become available, we're going to be in a great situation to add them.
You know, looking at the multitude of reasons you guys have had success this year, you got some new coaches in, obviously. You know, Werenski having a nice year. You mentioned all the goals from your D. What do you attribute the success for, by and large?
Well, I think Dean's got to get a lot of credit here. Dean's come in here with a great attitude. You know, both of us coming in here new. You know, we both said we don't care what's happened in the past. All we're looking at is the future, and the future started the day training camp started. So I think the atmosphere that we've created and the culture that is happening, you know, we had a tough situation, and I really give a lot of credit to the Monahans and Boone Jenners and Erica Brunson and Werenski, the team leaders, of how they brought this group together, because obviously when training camp started, we didn't know which way this was going to go. But the guys, they love to be together. They love to be at the rink. And, you know, guys like Boone and Eric Brunson are traveling with our team out west here right now. They just want to be a part of it. So I think we've got a great environment going, and that's what we got to build off of.
Watching your game the other night against Chicago and watching Zach Werenski, plus three, two assists, almost 26, 27 minutes. And I'm thinking that's a hell of a defenseman. That guy, I don't think gets the credit he deserves. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to see him on Team USA in February, but there's another guy you could build around.
100%. And, you know, he's such a good guy, and he just wants to win. And I think he's got, like you said, 26 points in 23 games, and he's been our leader offensively. What amazes me is, you know, and you probably watched a game yesterday, Nick, you see him behind the offensive team net multiple times, and then as the rush comes back, he always seems to get back and catch up with the play. So he's such a great skater, and you know, the way he thinks this game is incredible. But certainly, you know, we have him locked up for, I don't know, 3 or 4 more years, and he's going to be the catalyst for us on defense and continue to lead us for sure.
And you guys, as you head into the future here, believe that the goaltending you have is the goaltending you're going to be leaning on when on your journey back to that cup contender?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of play about Elvis. You know, came in the league, had some very good years, and then, you know, the last few years haven't gone as well. And, you know, the message to Elvis was, you know, he'd gone a little sideways with some of his teammates, and, you know, it got carried away at times. And my message to him, my first meeting in August with him, is I don't care if you stop a puck, just be a great teammate. If you're a great teammate, the rest will come easier. You know, teammates will want to play for you and all that. And as this training camp went on and as we got into the season, he's been nothing but a great teammate. And to me, I think that's led to his success, being able to stop the puck.
As far as the rest of the young talent that's built around this team as well, Fantilli and Kent Johnson, can you give us a bit of an update on where you see them now? Because Kent Johnson was kind of in that spot that Yurecek may have found himself, where he was up and down a little bit here. But overall, how have you seen their progress, Don?
Yeah, with Kent, you know, he came to training camp. You know, I talked to all the players during the summer, and he was determined. You know, he had a tough season last year with some injuries and up and down, and he was determined to come to camp and prove that he's an NHL player. And he had a tremendous camp, came in great condition, started off, played the first 3 or 4 games, was our leading scorer, and then got hurt, unfortunately. And then since he's been back, I can't say enough good things about him. But, you know, the one thing about him and Adam, too, is, you know, these guys just love to be on the ice. They're on the ice early for practice. They're out there late, you know, playing around with pucks, shooting pucks. And to me, they're pure hockey players. They want to be hockey players, and they work at it to be a hockey player. So, and Adam's a little frustrated initially. Didn't have a lot of line mates with Kent being out, us losing Boone Jenner to a shoulder. But, you know, he's been so good in every aspect of the game. And just recently here is starting to put some pucks in the net. And I would say he's been one of our more effective forwards, maybe not just always on the scoreboard, but shutting down other teams. He plays against the other team's best lines each and every night.
So, Don, for people who don't watch the Blue Jackets, you know, like when I tune in and watch, sometimes I, you know, I'm shocked at how fast Chinnikov is. I'm shocked at how effective Voronkov is at that size. Who do you think is maybe the more unsung yet effective Blue Jackets player that people don't talk about much?
Yeah, you know, well, two names you mentioned. Chinnikov has got the hardest shot on the team and can skate. And Varonikov is, you know, is hurt off the beginning of the year, but he's come back. And with that frame that he's got, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and you can't move him. And he's got some meanness to him, too. But, you know, Marchi has been really good for us. I think he's our leading scorer. I think, you know, people don't talk about him at all. But, you know, each and every night, when he gets a chance, he can score goals. And, you know, and then you look back, you know, even a little further on the blue line with, you know, a guy like Christensen, who nobody knew about, playing American League the last couple of years, got this opportunity this year. And, you know, he's played big minutes for us. And, you know, the other guy we picked up, Fabro from Nashville on waivers, he's got 3 goals plus 14 since he's been here. He's been a steady influence for us on the right side playing with Zach.
And a pending UFA, if I'm not mistaken, Don, and you've got a few of them I can see, including, you know, Sean Crawley, who's had tremendous success in Boston and come playoff time. Provorov's another one. And just your thoughts going into the trade deadline and ultimately whether you're going to keep some of these guys or not moving forward. Olivier, one of my favorites right now. Big goal scorer, tough guy, does it all. You got to sign him, Don.
Yeah, that'll come out of my paycheck to get his contract done for sure. Because, you know, he's got 7 goals. You know, his career high is 5, but he's getting the goals because he's trusted. He's a trusted player. Dean really trusts him, playing him on the third line, playing a lot more minutes he's ever played. You know, in the past, he's played that fourth line, expected to go out and tangle every time he gets on the ice. You know, he can play, and that's been fun. He's an unbelievable character guy that stands up in the room and talks to the players, and certainly an important piece of how we've gotten this far, and 100% we'll get him signed eventually. You know, Provorov, he's played really good for us. I get a lot of calls on him, and, you know, we're not in a position where we're going to be moving UFAs. Every one of our UFAs at some point will have conversations with their agents just to see where they're at, if they want to stay or if they want to potentially move on. But, you know, I've told everybody it's called, you know, let's circle back in early part of next year and we'll see where we're at that point and we can talk about it. But Olivier, I guarantee you, is not going anywhere.
Don, great job getting the trade market going for us. You know what it's like up here.
I know. I follow it pretty closely. And I had a few phone calls today, so stay tuned. Maybe we'll make something happen.
I love it.
All right.
Keep you guys busy.
Don, thanks for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
That is Don Waddell, president of hockey operations, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's some good stuff he gave us.
I love it.
Really good. Really, you know, it really feels like there's a plan coming together in Columbus, and I don't know that it's felt like that.
Again, talking to Doug McLean, which we often on Fridays, he just cannot speak highly enough of that market and the passion that people have. And of course, you know, we know what football means there, but
oof, they had a bad day on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they sure did.
Oh, but boy.
Their Columbus Blue Jackets are hot as a firecracker right now. So
yeah, you named a couple guys that are really good for them. Like Werenski's having an unbelievable year. One of the best D in the league this year.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And he's an afterthought.
Yeah.
And then if you go back a few years ago, it was like Seth Jones' team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like the second
banana
there.
Yeah.
And now he's like no questions asked. Seth is hurt now for Chicago, and we'll see if he ends up staying and anchoring the Chicago Blackhawks, or could they potentially move him? But Werenski, pretty good decision to keep him.
Yeah, I just need him to stay healthy, like I said, and he's been super effective. He had a Gordie Howe the other night, beat up Brandon Gallagher.
Yeah.
You know, fully entertaining player right now, a lot of points. This Voronkov he talked about, 6'5", 230. He's got 10 points in his last 8 games. Got a bit of a mean streak, 24 years old. Like, this is a hockey player.
Yeah, I like a lot of their young guys. You know, I like Kent Johnson a lot. I mean, Fantilli, they're good World Junior players. Like Fantilli, they're good junior players. Yeah. And Kent Johnson, he's, I think, 6 goals in 9 games so far this year. He's really starting to come on.
Yeah.
This team is 6th in the NHL in goals for per game. I was just playing around with goals for.
They've beat a lot of good teams. Like, I forget that you rattled off the teams that they've beaten. It's like
they went through. They killed me in my Survivor pool. Yeah. They went through Tampa Bay, Carolina, Boston. But in terms of goals for in the NHL, they're 6th. The bottom 5 teams in the league, Nashville, dead last, Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues, Blackhawks, and the Flames. Meanwhile, Columbus is 6th in goals, 3.6 goals a game. Wild.
So, yeah, and, you know, you can't overstate what a horrific tragedy started for them at the start, like, at the start of the year. Like, and, you know, that's...
We barely mentioned that, which is crazy, you know, considering
like,
the...
You mean, like, what is there to say about it?
Well,
like,
that's
Yeah, you know, it's not a question you really want to ask, but for them, he's the thing he said was that stuck out to me. Is that it could have gone either way, where like you either are totally just in the tank and it's totally understandable, or it guys kind of come together and good leadership and good coaching, and it kind of brings everybody's coming together and playing well together. Like, I'm rooting for them. I love it. I love that they're good.
Same.
Just what, 2 points behind a wild card spot now.
Emotional night coming up in Calgary tomorrow night. They're there, so it'll be an emotional night for them.
Yeah, his dad, Goodrow's dad, was on the ice with the Flames today, which is nice touch. So that'll be
Well, where do we have the Rangers? Because they've made a lot of noise this past week, and Columbus would be chasing, I think, them and obviously the Flyers, who hold the wild card spot. But, like,
it is.
Do the Rangers really need to fall off the face of the earth here to allow teams like Buffalo, the Islanders, and Columbus to pass them?
It is wild that we just did what we did about Columbus. Praise. The Rangers are ahead of them, in every, statistical measure here or whatever, and they are just ripe for a blow up. Like, the worst part about the Rangers, Kip, is like the future is not that bright, considering some of the arc of the age of the guys and... You're going to have to pay Shesterkin. Like,
I just don't know how you could start discussing trading Chris Kreider without usually when you hear someone, their name out there, it's because there's a lot of smoke coming out underneath. So you almost instantly... One insider, somebody with some credibility, will automatically link somebody of that stature with another team, but there just doesn't seem to be any of that. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I think that the Rangers are full of crap here and they're just throwing his name out for the sake of throwing it out. I believe that they'd like to move him right now. They would. I think they're legitimate
on that.
They
want to change their core. They want to change their makeup.
But... It doesn't sound like they have anything going. If you're going to throw his name out there, usually there's other teams linked to a player, and that's not the case. Like, we just had Don Waddell moments ago saying he had legitimately had 14 teams making inquiries on Yerchek.
Probably why he got such good...
We knew Minnesota was in it for sure. We knew Pittsburgh. We knew a few other teams. But, like, there's nothing like that with Chris Kreider or even Trouba, to be honest with you. I've not heard anything.
I think it was in Elliott's 32 Thoughts. Excuse me if I'm wrong on that. But I thought it was mentioned somewhere that, like, Drury had sent out the email. You know, the email to the other GMs. Like,
yes.
A couple of guys might be available here.
He said that. I think he said that on maybe headlines on Saturday night. Maybe he said that.
It was ping. You open your Gmail and you're like,
GMs.
Interesting.
Like, that's getting
GMs have a mass email they share with each other. And I don't know how often names get thrown out there. But when you're throwing them out there, it's usually going to get out.
We may trade Chris K. Oh, that's so obvious. The C. Kreider. Yeah. No,
You mentioned that the Rangers are just like in a dogfight with a bad team every night. Like, they that game against the Habs, like, they barely squeak by the Habs. They lose to the Flyers, maybe not that bad, but they lose 5-2 to the Blues, 6-2 to the Oilers. They just
They're 13-9.
Yeah, but it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good ever. It doesn't look good.
Like, Shesterkin covers up so much. He is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just every night he's bailing him out. Anyways, I don't know.
You think that changes anything with Shesterkin signing moving forward?
Well, I think it makes your team less appealing if it doesn't look like you're going to be committed for to be successful in the short term. I'm sure he wants
How much of a factor is that?
I just feel like you either love New York City, and you should, or you don't. And, like, if you're the starting goalie for the New York Rangers and you're in, like, you got to stay the starting goalie for the New York Rangers and hope they figure it out. Like,
Sam, you are a Vegas Golden Knight.
It's too tough to pick who's going to be good in the league. I don't know. Golden Knights might stink next.
I think you're underestimating winning a championship.
But I just think you don't know who's going to be good. We do it every year.
But you try your best to forecast.
Yeah, that's fine.
And if you talk to the Joe Thorntons of the world or the Henrik Lundqvists of the world and...
Joe tried to forecast and he came to Toronto. How'd that go?
But it was too late. It's too late. But I'm just saying that...
Didn't check the radar on that forecast.
That hindsight's, of course, 2020, but it hurts. It hurts them knowing that they don't know what it's like to win a Stanley Cup.
Of course, and I recognize it's monster, and to me it's the most important thing. But it's just when you're a good team and you're in a good spot.
Yeah, but if the Rangers are going to go through the next 3 or 4 years and they decide to move on off of all these players and it may take them a little while, they've already done that a couple times already.
Well, it's not helping their leverage in negotiations with him, because if he can suddenly say, you know, I'm not so sure about this organization anymore, price just went up again.
Big one tonight. Devils at MSG, you know, big-time rival going in there. The Devils hang a few on them. You know, the crowd starts getting restless. People start getting mad. You know, I watched them play
draft up a letter.
I mean, I watched them play the Flyers on the Friday, on Black Friday. It's like the Flyers look like, you know, the Devils, the way they were flying up and down the ice. You see that fast team? I don't know. Like a scary one.
It's like, is Kreider also, is he the guy that you want to get rid of? Like, you know, a big, strong, fast guy? Like, okay. How's Zibanejad doing for you?
So,
well, yeah, but he's, I mean, who's taking that?
Play Chris Drury for me for a second here, JB.
Yeah.
And you're going to call what team to see if they're interested in Chris Kreider? And if I'm not mistaken, he's at, what, $6.2 million for this year and next year? Which isn't horrible. It's not like 8 or 9.
It's not like he's sitting on the bench. Doesn't he have 9 goals this year?
I got a couple.
He's not a loser.
I got a couple teams for you. How about
Leafs
Dallas?
Don't want him.
Dallas.
Good pick.
Thank you. Dallas would be a team I would call.
Okay.
So 9 goals in 20 games.
Or the Jets. Those are two teams that I would call
after a 40-goal season. Who wouldn't take him? What are we talking about?
What we're talking about is what. What are you getting back for that? What are you willing to?
Yeah.
Because it's a player of that stature.
They want a player.
Is usually, hey, our season's over. We're just going to take the assets and we're going to fight another day.
You want a hockey player.
But we've got the Rangers in the playoffs today. Yeah. And therefore, I want a $6 million guy back. I don't want a $6 million back. What am I selling to the Ranger fans while I'm still in the playoffs today?
No, you're right. That's a tough sell. Really tough if you don't get a player back. You know, what I think can happen is you can get back high picks and trade the picks. Everyone wants picks. You know, it's like its own currency in a way. And I think that's what Waddell, who we just had on, was talking about doing with Juracek. Couldn't get back an equal prospect. Can you get back the picks that someone else will like for a deadline player?
So does it make sense to flip Nick Ehlers for Kreider?
That's a great suggestion. I think the dollars are pretty comparable.
But that's a good one, Gibby. You're locked in.
Do it if I was Winnipeg.
But you're locked in for another year. You guaranteed that Kreider's going to be 6.2 next year.
Mm-hmm.
But Ehlers is going to another level off of UFA.
Yeah. So you get another year of an effective player while you're kind of in a run here for
and
Winnipeg.
Can the Rangers squeeze that in?
What's Ehlers at?
Six flat.
Yep. So yes, they can is the answer.
So does that do it for you? Does that do it for both teams?
Ehlers is 6 even. He's 28 years old. So
Chris Kreider's what,
33?
I'm losing 5 years.
losing 5 years, but do you feel like you're losing Ehlers? Ehlers has been playing 9 minutes a night. It's a joke, but like, you know, 15 minutes a night for years as one of the highest points per 60 guys. I think he might be frustrated with his opportunity. I think that's a reasonable suggestion. But did that give you a better chance to win a cup this year? I mean, it might. He's a different type of player. I like Ehlers a lot.
Ehlers is good. Different type of player. Anyways, game
time? There is a limited trade list on it. I got to think, as an American player, Chris Kreider probably has multiple Canadian teams.
Rangers to the Jets is something Jacob Trouba's experienced.
Sorry, boys, not to be this guy, but usually the no-move clause, the first team on there is either Ottawa or Winnipeg, unfortunately.
You got
to
be honest about who you are in the league.
That's friends in Winnipeg.
It's different. They're on their Canadian team.
All right, Sammy.
All right, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Like I mentioned to you there, the New Jersey Devils are at Madison Square Garden tonight to take on the Rangers. Huge one. The Rangers need this tonight. And it's plus 105. The Rangers are underdog at home, minus 125 for the Rangers. For the Devils. If you wanted to, I was thinking about betting on a Chris Kreider to score the first goal of the game tonight with all the rumors surrounding him. Give me Chris Kreider as the first goal scorer tonight at Madison Square Garden at plus 1400. The Chicago Blackhawks coming into Toronto are a plus 350 underdog. The Leafs are minus 450 on home ice tonight.
The Leafs have lost this game for the last 4 years.
I got to tell you, the three of us sat in the alumni box and ate beautiful pork chops and smoked salmon, and you know, drank wonderful
pork
beers. You didn't.
Come on, we're a little classier than that.
All right, Kippy. Whatever. We watched them lose this game.
Yeah.
This literal game.
We sat in the boardroom upstairs and watched them lose to Chicago again last year.
So, maybe worth a sprinkle, although the second half of back-to-back.
No, they should lose. Chicago should lose.
I was thinking about a revenge goal for Tyler Bertuzzi tonight, like I mentioned. That is a plus 425 number for Tyler Bertuzzi to score against his former team, which feels almost inevitable, which a former Leaf always scores. They got a few picks. I don't think it's going to be TJ Brody, but maybe if you think that's going to happen.
Brody's plus 4 million.
I think it's plus 1,800 to score tonight. So if you want that to happen, you can bet on it. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
I do remember that night well in the alumni box because I think you stepped on Jack Valiquette's wife's foot.
Yeah.
No, that was the first year when I didn't get invited.
Oh, yeah, it was just you and me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was before you trusted me in public settings, Kipper. That was when you invited.
Busted in her bones. I just apologized, sweating all over her for the next two periods.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
It was not good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Don Waddell wasn't the only one trading the other day. We'll tell you which backup goalies got swapped when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kipperios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Vancouver Canucks making some noise, on the weekend?
Yeah.
Some good efforts.
Jake DeBrusque, hat trick, OT winner.
Couldn't get out of the way and not score a goal. Like, that's every spot he was in was just perfect.
Sammy called him kind of finding it there a little bit, and he has. He looks like what they thought they were buying in sort of support scoring for them. So awesome, awesome news there.
Yeah, he's just been on fire. I mean, I would say the overtime goal, Husso.
Ping. A good shot.
Leaning a little. Like, I mean, it was a great shot, but I don't know. Like, he was falling him into the corner. Like, it was a great shot, but.
Second career hat trick, 16th multi-goal game. Tied for the league lead in road goals with 10.
Yeah, they had some crazy stats in that game. That was
Lankanen's the first goalie ever to start a season with 10 straight road wins.
Correct.
10-0-0 on the road.
And Quinn Hughes sets the franchise record for assists. All in one game.
He sees it pretty good, eh?
God, he's he's a real pleasure to watch.
He is. He's one of the guys in the league that are you buy a ticket because he's in the game.
Just controls it.
He just has it.
How do you like a top pair of him and Charlie McAvoy for USA?
McAvoy's a bum. What did he score, twice yesterday?
He's very good, too.
I'm watching Primo on his – did you watch the wraparound goal he scored?
Yep.
Yeah, not pretty.
Like, Primo's, like, covering – half of his body's covering no net on the short side.
Yeah.
I mean, once McAvoy saw how far he was off his post, it was like a done deal to wrap it around an empty net.
Funny,
what is going on in Montreal?
Well, I was just going to say, we had Columbus on who everyone thought was kind of going to bottom out, but there's a lot of optimism there in young players that are coming and a plan. San Jose is better than I thought they were going to be by a great margin. Will Smith is good and Celebrini. And
before we move on, I know that you're really going to care about this. Same with you, Kipper. Forward wearing number two. Thoughts?
Don't like it.
Will Smith wearing number two? Very weird.
Good for
jarring.
Him for
jarring.
Doing it.
Jarring.
But, you know, looking at some of these other teams that are kind of having success from the basement, what is Montreal, how do they feel about where they're at? It's harder to see their plan for me, Kip. And is any there going to be any changes or repercussions or anything? They're just kind of going ahead as is.
They reek.
Yeah.
I'd be furious right now if I was a Montreal Canadian fan watching Columbus right now going... They're better than us, really?
La histoire du hockey.
Right?
No, you're right.
I remember talking to a scout when Kirby Doc went there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's times when there's flashes of really good Kirby, but he said, like, nothing more than a third line guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which, you know, if Doc was supposed to be an AHLer or a fourth line guy, that's pretty darn good. But I think expectations were out of line with his reality, maybe.
One goal in 24 games.
Wow.
That's...
Slavkovsky's got 2 goals in 24 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Alex Newhook, no assists in 24 games.
No assists?
No assists in 24 games.
I just think
five goals,
Lane
Hutson's 5 points.
Unbelievable. They got that going for him.
Yeah, how many goals he got this year?
Yeah, well, he's got lots of assists.
Yeah, okay.
But zero.
David.
But.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they can turn around a little bit.
Me too.
They're not. This is going to be another high pick.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I just don't think you can, like, fly the plane into the ground from the start of the season. Like, you're so bad, you need to start trying to get good players now to win more games to just kind of make the landing a little softer. I don't know.
No, it's ugly.
Yesterday came off, Montreal's loss came off the heels of the 100 centennial anniversary of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah. Do you see that drone video?
I saw the drone video.
Buddy, how cool was that?
It was really cool. I suggest anybody gets a chance to find it on there.
Or
phone.
Flew the drone into
the building.
The building.
Or is that someone really fast on a camera?
Yeah. And flew it by Bobby Orr looking at the Bobby Orr statue. Willie O'Ree looking at the Willie, you know, Johnny Busick's in the video. They got the mascot going. Just so cool.
It's amazing. It's
really?
An amazing video.
Technology.
And they
not
you know,
always awful.
Not to be, throw praise on the Boston Bruins, but I thought it was an awesome touch by Pasta to go out in the old Cooper bucket for warm up. I gotta tell you, I really did love that. I'm not one to toss compliments the way of the old Boston Bruins, but that's a good look.
That was really cool.
That old bucket's hilarious.
So, are they gonna be okay this year, you think? The Bruins?
Well, now they're in third place in the Atlantic.
You think
they're minus 100
goal
difference.
They're coming around here?
Yeah, probably.
Well, they're better than the bad teams. They're definitely better than the bad teams. They're probably better incrementally than the medium teams. So they're going to get their wins. The Atlantic Division is once again separated with the Canadiens, Senators, Red Wings, and Bruins on the bottom right now. Or sorry, and Sabres on the bottom.
Oh, there we go.
There's a look. You know, you feel like the Sabres have a chance to make some noise. I'm going to say it now. I hate to do this.
7-8 looking pretty familiar there.
I have given up on the Senators this year.
Of course.
I'm out. They're not going to make
the
playoffs.
God, they pushed so hard last night to get good players. An extra point against Anaheim, but lost it in the shootout.
To Anaheim.
There's a feel of being desperate right now. I think they know it's like another bad week could bury them to the point where they cannot dig themselves out of it.
No, and you just need to be good enough that you can talk yourself into it, make some trades at the deadline, like compete, but you can't climb over six teams with, you know, as the season starts to get away from you. It's like, you know, certain teams have gotten off to a start that they can go 500, the Jets or whoever, just coast in.
Yeah.
And now the Sens again, it's like they got to climb a ladder and they're not good enough to do that. They're good enough to compete, but
their record since the Leafs lost, they beat the Leafs that game, is 2-5-2.
You see the play last night, and this is a obscure part of the game maybe, but Gudas hit, I believe Pinto hit him hard, and then someone else ran him, Cousins ran Gudas. Pinto ends up with a puck off of this in like a 3-on-1 rush. And it was like, oh, they're going to get it. And he just like backhanded it into traffic, and Anaheim went the other way. And I was like, it's bad hockey. That's just really bad.
They're just not great.
Pinto, I'm not sure about.
Did I get fooled this year? Did I say they're going to be in the playoffs before this? I don't think I did.
Elliot.
Oh, Elliot did.
Put his whole reputation on it.
Yeah, his whole reputation.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He'll never recover.
I'm ruined.
How are our boy Friege ever recover from making a preseason prediction?
Next to Mark Messier's guarantee game 6, this is really close.
Yeah. Well,
Elliot's Ottawa.
It's not over.
It is. But Habs are going to get Line A back tomorrow night, apparently. They sent down some Walk kid, and they're going to put him in there. He'll help, I guess.
At least fans will be more interested. For Patrick Laine. I would love to see him go score a bunch of goals, open up room for people.
Also, I've seen on the ice is Ovechkin skating.
Did he go to Moscow?
Since he's been out, they've won like 4 games in a row. Washington. They haven't lost. I don't know if they've lost.
I think they're first in the NHL. One sec.
What is happening here?
Tied for first in the NHL, the Minnesota Wild and the Washington Capitals. Right behind them is the Winnipeg Jets.
They scored 6 goals the other night without Ovi.
17-6-1. Plus 32 goal differential.
19 goals in their last 4 games.
It's confounding.
I didn't see it coming, boys. I know Kipper likes Strome more than I had in the past, and maybe I got that one wrong.
Yeah, no, I like him. I like him. He's just one of those guys where it's not overly pretty, but he gets the job done.
Yeah.
It's like almost old schoolish.
A lot's happening right at the right time, like that protest and Connor McMichael are kind of coming into their own. Duhaime and Mangiapane are
Matt
good
Roy
depth guys.
Came back.
Yeah, that helps.
Chychrun's got 8 goals.
Chychrun has 8 goals?
8!
Jeez Louise. Sorry about the language.
I'm impressed. Oh, that was very, very rude.
Rasmus Sandin, I think, is second in the NHL in plus minus. Someone texted me that today. I could be wrong. I'll look it up.
Say, just quickly, because a couple minutes here. And you know I love to talk about Team Canada.
Second in the league.
We mentioned the Travis Sanheim, Travis Konecny, the double Travis thing before we
Travi.
Got... The Travi, before we got to Waddell. I just wanted to revisit it here before we go. Sanheim, did anybody have Sanheim? Like, was there any one projected team?
Okay. Has anyone really watched Philadelphia the last 3 years?
I've known him to be a good prospect, a good player, but like Team Canada, really, like they're, you know, they're going to be way more surprises. Like that one out of left field.
What do you have on our lineup here in net?
Oh, Joey Decord,
Decord. What's the... Elliot had a report on this, didn't he, Saturday night too?
Yeah, so it was that he is a Canadian citizen, but he doesn't physically have a Canadian passport.
Ugh.
So if he gets a Canadian passport by a certain time, then maybe he can... It's like, Listen, we're
not
Canada.
Jumping through hoops for Joey DeCord.
We're Canada.
Yeah, we're not jumping through hoops for Joey DeCord.
This isn't a Joel Embiid situation here.
No. Elliot, if you're listening to the show.
No, not another Elliot's tray.
Elliot, what are your sources saying on a driver's license? Would that help Joey DeCord? Elliot, what about a library card?
No comment.
Would that help Joey DeCord?
I know we're desperate. We're looking for whatever we can get.
Piece of mail. With his name on it.
Not enough, Kip.
Not enough?
Not going to have it in time. He cannot be selected.
Okay, we'll wait for Elliot to report on library cards next week.
But, you know, we had thrown out the idea last week on our, somebody texted and asked us at our last segment on Friday about the potential of Joey DeCord. I just don't like the thought of Canada having to jump through hoops to get any player to play for us. It's like, that's a point of pride that we have enough good players. We don't have to worry about that. And certainly, God love Joey DeCord, having a great year, been a good player. Certainly not.
No.
For Joey DeCord.
The Joel Embiid point is a great one, right? Like, he's Cameroon birth, but grew up in the U.S.
And is French, too, somehow. So, he could have played for any three of the teams.
Chose USA.
Yeah, chose USA.
Which, you jump through hoops for Joel Embiid. Yeah,
I guess. But
I don't think Joey's sitting there going, okay, what time's the passport office open up? take it.
You
better get in line, 4 a.m. tomorrow.
Nightmare.
Or he's like, I could go to Cabo for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I wonder what she's going to pick.
There was a backup goalie trade in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Mackenzie Blackwood.
No.
Wedgwood. Wedgwood. Oh, it's a big difference. There's wood involved.
Yes, I teed that up. I teed that up, and I can't even tell you who the other guy is.
I butchered his name.
Eustace Ananin?
It was. Yeah.
I was desperate for a hook to get them to hang on between the commercial break and come back to our show. I threw out the backup goalie trade.
Yeah.
If you're Colorado, just how about trade for a good one?
No, you just need something else to figure it out. You just got to try someone else. The league is full of Joey DeCord and Wedgwood and guys that, maybe they'll be good this year.
I don't know. Colorado has to, win now, and we don't know what they're going to do with Rantanen.
You know what's interesting to me is we had Don Waddell on, and he said with Merzlikens, Elvis, as he calls him.
Yeah.
Really interesting note about personality and how he said, I told him this year, be a good teammate. And he's being a better teammate, and that's whatever. His numbers are not good, but he's been a...
We tell Sammy that every day.
Just be a good teammate.
Just be a good teammate.
If I'm not a good teammate, boys, I got nothing.
You mentioned Gorgiev, being difficult at times in his history, right? He got into it with Tony D'Angelo. That was part of his exit from the Rangers.
Yeah.
So him and Elvis, if you're a backup goalie trying to be a starter or trying to stay somewhere, I don't know, be decent to people.
Yeah. He does... Gorgiev has a bit of a reputation of being a little bit of a finger pointer.
Yeah. Hey, you screen me.
Your fault.
Get in the shooting.
Not my fault. Your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's tough in an NHL locker
room. Oh, boy, is it ever.
Especially with guys like Nathan MacKinnon on that team.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to love that. Hey, you mentioned the Waddell thing. It was a pretty newsy interview now that I look back on it.
Yeah,
he said a lot of things. If you want to listen, go back.
If you like trade talk.
Yeah. They're doing stuff in
Columbus. Yeah. And
although Olivier, not for sale. I did hear him trade Provorov, though. I don't know. Yeah. He didn't say that expressly, but I heard him say, circle back in the new year.
Put a pin in it till after the holidays, maybe.
You know how many teams would trade for Olivier right now?
Many.
There'd be a lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll punch a size of your face for free, but 7 goals before Christmas to go with
it. I'd like to be his agent.
Well, I think it helps as an agent when the GM says he's not going anywhere.
He's having a year like I had when I had 325 penalty minutes and scored 17 goals.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun when
How was there enough ice time for that?
What's that?
Did you cash in on that one?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I may have come. I think I tripled my salary, I think.
Yeah, that helps. I'd like to triple mine.
Yeah.
That's an absurd season, Kipper.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But no, I just don't know how you're on the ice enough for that to happen.
God, I wanted... There's only I don't know if there's 10 guys in the history of the league who scored 20 goals and had 300 penalty minutes.
Do you think of some posts? Do you remember some could have been in that year?
I pulled my abdominal muscles or that sports hernia thing that cut off 7 or 8 games I had.
Oh. Yeah, 78 games. You know whose agent I'd like to be? Josh Allen's agent.
Buddy, God. Nice hat today, eh?
He's my favorite player. He's maybe one of my favorite athletes.
By the way,
I love watching him play.
Was it 36 feet of snow in Buffalo. It's an hour and a half from here. We got nothing.
They just don't care. They're just like, yeah, we're going. Yeah. Like, it's just sitting in snow for
no
3 hours. They don't care.
It was fun, though. It's fun TV watching last night.
Yeah, with your curled up beside with your little Swiss Chalet blanket on.
For sure. Okay. I'm off to the alumni box.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Boy. For the pork chops?
You think I wear a nice blazer for you guys?
No, I don't.
Enjoy your Monday night, Amazon night. Download. Enjoy your game. And we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.